Before we start the show, let's hear from one of our sponsors. Their support keeps this show free for you. Hey there, Peace and Parenting family. If you love the podcast but wish to enjoy it without interruptions, your wish has come true. Introducing the ad-free version of the Peace and Parenting podcast available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. As a subscriber, you'll get all the heartfelt advice, parenting stories, and actionable tips you love without any ads. For less than the cost of a coffee each month, you will enjoy uninterrupted listening while also supporting our work to help you build stronger connections with your kids. Try it out for free. Simply find Peace and Parenting on Apple Podcasts, click try free, and you'll gain immediate access to our ad-free episodes. There's no commitment and you can cancel anytime. So if you're ready for a more peaceful, uninterrupted listening experience, subscribe now. Let's keep focusing on connection without the distractions. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome back to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm Michelle, and I'm so glad you're here. And one of the listeners on Apple iTunes says, "This is so easy to listen to. The length of the episodes are perfect for a mom with limited time. The messages aren't preachy to you, but feel like conversation, and you get to come to your own conclusions for your family. Can't recommend this enough." Thank you so much. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you all are here. I love getting reviews. If you haven't left a review, I would be so grateful. If you listen on Apple, you can write one. If you listen elsewhere, I think you can leave a rating. All right, let's get into it. I posted something about the idea, like, you know, kids who are blindly obedient aren't just following directions, and they shouldn't be necessarily thought of as good or any better than kids who don't, and that it's our God-given right to, you know, stand up for what we believe in and have free will, and that that's part of growing up is to learn how to stand up for yourself. And that many people were on board with that idea. Yes, I want my kids to stand up for themselves. And other people were saying, oh, it's really hard. It's hard to have my kids stand up for themselves, but I really want them to. Some folks were saying this is going to make them great adults, being able to stand up for themselves. And then there were a handful of people that were of the mind, more than a handful of people, lots of people that said, my child can stand up for themselves as long as it's respectful. And as soon as it's not respectful, then I cannot tolerate that. I want to dissect this idea a bit. I mean, of course, we all want respectful kids. We all want to be around respectful people. We should all want to be respectful people. And so it isn't that I'm promoting being disrespectful by saying this, but what I am promoting or what I am highlighting is that we don't come to this world knowing how to stand up for ourselves. And also this world and this society really values compliance and cooperation. And if you are compliant and you cooperate and you're thought of as good. And so there isn't this place where people are encouraging you to stand up for yourselves. So it might be very difficult for a child to know just how to do that. So when they try on this new skill of standing up for themselves, they might not do it quite right. They might be too forceful. They might be disrespectful. They might be outspoken. They might be loud. They might have to say it with a lot of fervor because they want you to hear it. And it's hard for them. And that's their temperament. And is that okay? Is it okay for them to have their space to do so? Is it okay for them to use us as their learning ground? Is it okay that they are developmentally not quite there yet? I mean, honestly, I sometimes don't stand up for myself in the right way. And it's taken me a lot of years to learn how to do that. And it's all a matter of limits and boundaries. I didn't know how to have limits and boundaries that were kind and calm and loving. Mine were always big and strong and overbearing because I was given boundaries that were big and strong and overbearing. So I didn't quite know how to calibrate that. So if you are giving your child boundaries that are big and strong and overbearing, and then you're receiving that back, that might be a good indicator that things have to change. Now, even if you're not giving them big and strong and loud boundaries, you might have a child who has that temperament, who they need to say it stronger and louder, and they really want you to hear it because they're young and immature and inexperienced, and they don't know quite how to conduct themselves. Of course, they don't. Kids don't know a lot of things. They can't calibrate. And I've seen plenty of adults who don't know how to calibrate, who can't have kind, loving, thoughtful discussions. I mean, just look at our political system. There isn't a lot of kind, calm conversation. And if these are our children's models, no wonder they stand up for themselves in manners that don't seem like respect. But do we have to say this idea, my kid can stand up for themselves as long as they're respectful? I don't think that's fair. I really don't. I think kids can stand up for themselves no matter what. And it is our job to be the learning ground, to be the practice field, to be the safe space for them to stand up for themselves in a way that maybe is hard for us. And can we hold space for that? And can we say, wow, they didn't quite do it right. They're real strong in it, but I heard them and I'm going to allow them grace and I'm going to listen. And hopefully over time and with enough practice, they'll learn to self-regulate. They'll learn to calibrate. They'll learn how to have a decent boundary or limit or stand up for what they believe in. Because we want people who stand up for what they believe in.
We're taking a break to hear from our sponsor so I can bring this podcast to you free of charge.
What if you spent the next 30 days really focusing on connection with your kids? What do you think sibling rivalry would look like? How would cooperation go? And what would the feeling be in your home? Join my 30-day challenge. For 30 days, you join me and my coach, Martha, and really explore the ideas of connection. We do group coaching for the entire month, and you have access to all of the Peace and Parenting materials. Please join us for a 30-day challenge. Find the link in the show notes.
My book, Unpunished, is finally here. It is my journey into connected parenting, the idea of perfection, and how it nearly took me down as a mom. I give you my best thinking around how to be a connected parent and the insights that I've discovered over the last 12 years of this incredible journey. I'm giving my book away for free, plus shipping and handling. So go to unpunished.com and get yours today. We're shipping domestically and we're also shipping internationally. Now, back to the show.
This is a democracy. We want the democratic idea of being able to speak your mind, being able to out injustice and be able to say, I don't like what's going on here. And it might start with a cookie, an event they don't want to go to, and anything of fighting against a rule, because that's the breeding ground for being able to stand up for their friends when somebody says something unkind, or being able to stand up for what's right in this world, being able to have a moral ground. And if we don't allow them a field to practice on, where will they practice? We don't necessarily want them going out and practicing on their friends or on their teachers or on other adults. We'd like them actually to practice on us because we are the safe space for them to practice. Because we will love them no matter what. Because we don't think it's disrespectful. Because we don't take it personally. And because we don't judge it. We actually know good and well that our child is trying it on. They're figuring it out. They're navigating where their line is. And how are they going to get their point across? And will they be heard? Or can people understand me? And how do I have to say this? It's going to take a lot of time and effort and practice for these kids. And we need to, if we can, hold that space for them because it's our job. Because we're their parents. Because that's what we're there for. We're not there to tell them you have to be respectful when you can't say it like that. You can't say it like this. They know that. Most kids who are standing up for themselves know that. They're just, it's not in their development yet. It's not part of their development yet. Or it is. It's part of their development. They're developing. But I think it's really important not to shut down a child who's standing up for themselves. And when we say you can do it, but you can do only do it respectfully, I think that does shut them down. I think it doesn't allow them the space to say it the wrong way. What does that feel? Ooh. Harsh with mom. I probably should have said it a little differently. She didn't take that so good. She was real quiet after I said that. She didn't really engage in that back and forth. They notice. They're on it. They're smart. And this, we could trust our kids. We could trust them to learn things. We can trust them to learn things that aren't explicitly taught to them because they are intuitive beings who are insightful and who have morals. And when they are given the space and the time, they're able to teach themselves things that we don't necessarily have to teach them explicitly and point it out. You should say it like this. You should say it like that. Well, you can't say it like this, or you can't say it like that. All the correcting and the shaming and the directions. Is it more effective if we can be their witness, notice what's happening, but not judge them? I think that is a challenge for many of us. And it probably goes back to this idea that we were not allowed to be quote unquote disrespectful. We were not allowed to stand up for ourselves. We were not allowed to go against any adult ever. And so when our kids are doing it, it probably pings us, right? Like, oh, this isn't right. They can't say that. They can't do that. No way. That's not allowed. That's not a kind person. I didn't do that. They can't do that. There's no way I would have got away with that. Does any of that really matter, though? Is what matters, are they getting there? Are they able to practice? And then are they really able to exert their free will and have their autonomy? I'm a firm believer in the idea that kids need to mess up. They need to practice things. They need to fall and falter. They need to know what that feels like, as opposed to what if you had a child that you just taught them everything, you know, verbatim, that you taught them a lesson. You need to do this and you need to do that and you need to do these things and those things and that thing. And you're constantly teaching them and telling them what to do. And they just got it all and they took it all in and they were the perfect kid and they took the lessons and that's weird to me. And it's not the way I want to live my life if I were a child. I would not want my caretakers to just preach and teach to me all day, all the things I needed to do and have this expectation that I was going to internalize them and do them. And that I was just going to be this robot. I think it's messier and more nuanced and more involved than that. And I think learning through experience, I know for me personally, I learn so much better through experience. I know my kids do too. I don't know about you all, but when I mess up and it feels bad to me, as opposed to someone making me feel bad, I learn because it's deeper. It's more meaningful. It's internal as opposed to external. So these are my thoughts on my kids can stand up for themselves, except for they need to be respectful. I hope that this has given you a new idea around the standing up for yourself and around respect. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting Podcast. I'm so glad you are here. See you next time.
Before we start the show, let's hear from one of our sponsors. Their support keeps this show free for you.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.